If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Hey guys, it's Allie. Welcome back to Infertile AF, the podcast. This is episode 377 called Lauren Roscoe. This episode is sponsored by Fertile. You guys know I'm always looking for real solutions and real hope when it comes to fertility, and that's why I'm so excited to share this. Fertile just hit a huge milestone. Over 500 fertile babies have been born. 500, you guys. Mind blown. But what I love most about this is it's not just numbers. These are real families, real stories, people who had been trying, sometimes for a really long time, and finally got their positive. Fertile is the first of its kind, totally sterile, at-home insemination kit designed to help you conceive in a more accessible, less clinical, and honestly, more empowering way. Whether you're just starting your journey, trying between treatments, or looking for something that gives you more control, this is an option worth knowing about. I also love that the Fertile team, led by Dr. Jen, who was diagnosed with infertility, is focused on education and support, not just the product. Because she has been through it too, and like us, knows this journey is about so much more than just timing and tests. So if you've been feeling stuck or just want to explore all of your options, check out Fertile at fertile.com. That's P-H-E-R-D-A-L.com. The best part? Infertile AF listeners get $10 off with the code INFERTILEAF. Go to fertile.com today and use code INFERTILEAF for $10 off. Because 500 babies means something is working. Thanks, Fertile. This episode is brought to you by Generations CryoVault. If you're going through fertility treatment, you already know every decision matters. But here's one thing most people don't realize. You do have a choice in where your eggs, sperm, and embryos are stored. Most clinics just keep them or quietly move them to a partner facility. No conversation, no options. But that's not your only path. Enter Generations CryoVault. Their motto says it all. Your tissues, your choice. They specialize in one thing, secure, long-term reproductive storage. And they do it better because they're independent and they're not juggling procedures or upsells. They're passionate about protecting your future. And the best part? Storage starts at just $425 a year, often less than half of what clinics charge. Generations is also ISO certified, the only independent reproductive tissue storage facility in the US with that distinction. That means that every process, every safeguard, every detail has been independently verified to meet the highest global standard. Plus, no hidden fees, no extra charge for quarantine storage, and every shipment is insured up to $50,000. This is your future family we're talking about. You deserve transparency, control, and peace of mind. take ownership of this part of your journey at gencryo.com and use code INFERTILEAF26 to receive 1 month off an annual plan. Again, that's gencryo.com and code INFERTILEAF26 for 1 month free. Because this isn't just storage, it's your story. Thanks, Generations CryoVault. Guys, this is your moment, like right now. We are in the middle of illustrating Petri Dish Princess, the next book in the Work of Art series, and you can literally be a part of it. I'm talking about getting your name, your family, your legacy illustrated inside the book, something you can hold on to forever. But here's the thing, we're already in the illustration phase, which means the window, it's closing fast. If you've ever wanted to be a part of something bigger, something that's changing the way we talk about IVF, infertility, and how families are made through ART, this is it. Don't miss it and then see the book everywhere and think, oh, I should have done that. Go right now to Instagram and follow InfertileAF Stories for all of the details or head to InfertileAFGroup.com to lock in your spot. A portion of proceeds goes to Families Out Loud, which shares our mission of supporting and uplifting families on their unique paths to parenthood. So be a part of the story while it's still being told. Again, go to InfertileAFGroup.com or follow me on Instagram at InfertileAFStories for the deets. All right, guys, today's guest is someone so many of you already know and love from TikTok, Lauren Roscoe. And trust me, her story goes way beyond the viral song parodies. Lauren started making TikToks during COVID at a time when so many of us were feeling isolated and searching for connection. And what began as a creative outlet quickly turned into something much bigger, a space where she could share everything she was going through in life, including navigating infertility. In this episode, Lauren and I get into all of it, including PCOS, miscarriage, IVF, loss, what it feels like to share something so personal to a community of literally millions, and more. Lauren also talks about being pregnant and due very soon with her baby girl and how she's used humor, honesty, and music to make people feel less alone. She is a very talented, very sweet gem of a human, and I'm proud to call her a friend. Without further ado, this is Lauren's infertility story. Oh my gosh, Lauren, I am so excited to talk to you. You popped up on my feed one day and I went down like a deep dive on your content and all of your songs and your videos with your husband, and just the stuff that you're putting out into the world is so entertaining, but also really heartfelt and touching. And I'm so happy that you're here. So thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. And thank you for saying all of that.
Yes. You're so talented. Crazy. Oh my God, your music. Let's start there. We'll get into your whole fertility journey. But when did you realize you were a talented musician? Have you always sang and created music and written songs?
Yeah. I mean, I came out the womb singing. I really did. And my mom and dad used to have me like perform at their family parties when I was a toddler. I would like get on the table and do performances. Oh yeah. I would like wrangle up the girls of the neighborhood and be like 5, 6, 7, 8. We're putting together a musical. We're putting together whatever. Cute. But they, you know, they didn't, as much as they loved it, and they would say things like, oh, you're going to be a singer when you grow up. You know, there's no way for that to actually happen unless your parents have some sort of like connection to Disney Channel or something. So, I really just started singing in every capacity that I could, whether it was like church or, you know, the school talent show or being in the local musical. I wanted to be heard, but I just never fathomed that it would get to where it is now, for sure.
Right. Okay. So fast forwarding a bunch, when did you met your husband on a blind date, right?
Yeah. My cousin set us up on a blind date in 2019. And at the time, so, I mean, I will spare you the entire lore of my life, but,
I do want to hear that. Maybe offline we'll do like another call.
Yeah,
fill me in.
Reader's Digest. I tried to do musical theater. No. It was on a reality TV show. No. I was a first grade teacher. No. I was a Disney princess. No, I'm just like,
oh my God, like at Disney World?
No, please. I wish. I was literally a toddler birthday party entertainer. And I had like 10 costumes in my trunk. I would travel around city to city, like do 5 birthday parties in a day, sing, make balloon animals, do face paints, tell stories. God. It was a whole thing.
But that could be a whole episode in and of itself.
It absolutely could. The stories I have are insane, but of course the money wasn't great. And it's like, I can't do this forever. You know, I mean, there were so many times where I was like, what am I doing with my life? When I was 27, I was at a point where I honestly had no idea what the heck I was going to do with my life. And singing just felt so out of reach. But I did audition to be in a party band, an event band. It's a 13-piece traveling production. And I got the job. So fun. And I did that for 5 years. And then enter Sean, 2019. You know, I was telling him like, okay, I kind of want to settle down and start a family, but I'm doing 100 cities a year and I don't know how that's going to happen. So COVID-19 hit and I lost my job as a touring musician. And I know for a lot of people, COVID was absolutely devastating. But for me, it was kind of a launching pad for what was to come. I actually needed something to say, slow down. It's time to change directions. Mm-hmm. And I told Sean, there's this new app called TikTok, and it's probably for kids. I'm probably too old for this, but I think I would do really well because it's silly. It's like music and dancing and storytelling. And he's like, girl, you better get your butt on there. And if you better take it seriously. Like, if you're telling me this is something you want to do, mind you, we're just dating at the time. He's like, cracking the whip, kind of like, okay, girl, yeah. It's COVID. I'm working from home. You need to be filming every single day. Like, let's get a video up.
Yes.
And, you know, of course they flop in the beginning, but eventually they started to take off.
And do you remember the moment that it started to take off for you? Was like you kind of started to go viral or get a lot of followers or what was it?
There were a few moments. I remember the first time a video got 10,000 views. And to me at that time, that's felt like so much. Like in my mind, I was thinking 10,000 views. Okay, well, if I go and perform at a big event and there's 1,000 people there, I feel really good about that. So 10,000 feels like a lot. Right. Now that I have millions of views looking back, that's kind of funny. But there were literally so many moments where I would have, you know, one day I would have a video that got, you know, 50 views on it and think, oh, it's over. And then the next day I would get something with 1 million and be like, oh my gosh. So wow. There were so many moments, but once you figure out your audience and you figure out your vibe, you kind of start to stabilize right. A little bit. But
yeah,
because I still flop and videos don't do great, but whatever.
You know, yeah. What's been your best performing video to date?
I think my highest performing video is 26 million views.
Oh my God.
Yes. And it's just one of my singing parodies. Several of my singing parodies are up there mm-hmm. for sure. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, the whole parody thing started with COVID, actually. I started singing popular songs, but changing the words about like being stuck in the house and being bored and things like that.
People needed that because everybody's just on their devices, right? Because we couldn't go anywhere. Yeah. We couldn't do anything. So it was almost like the perfect timing for you to start exploring this new path. And like you said, you were doing so much and like, you're so creative. Like, I'm sure you were like, I'm going to travel and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do birthday parties. It was good for you to just like focus on one thing.
It absolutely was. It was the perfect timing. It's crazy how you think something horrible is happening to you. And then you realize it was actually a blessing. Mm-hmm. At that time I had met Sean on a blind date. And then because of COVID, I moved in with him because during that time, actually, I found out my sister had stage 4 breast cancer and I didn't want to be home, you know, possibly contaminating her space. So I moved in with Sean and we were inseparable after that. Now we've been together for 7 years.
Yes. I have to say, just, I don't know him obviously at all, but just from the video, he's so like, he's burst into tears so many times on your videos and stuff. I'm like, oh my God, this guy's like got such a big heart.
son is the cutest, sweetest person.
You telling your vows, you like singing the vow, and he's just like sobbing.
He's so cute. He's so emotional. And it's funny because he is like such a manly man in so many ways. Like he works on cars, he plays baseball, he's like a businessman. He is very serious, but he also just has this sweet side, and it just, he's just perfect. He's just honestly.
You guys are
like, no one's perfect. I'm like, Sean is.
Yeah. Well, your fairy tale wedding song, right? It's fairy tales are real. When did you guys start talking about family building? And have you always wanted to be a mom?
Oh my gosh. I've always wanted to be a mom. A lot of people don't know this about me. My mom had a daycare in our house growing up. So my entire childhood, I woke up from anywhere to like 6 to 8 babies in my house at all times.
Okay.
For 30 years, she did this. I've loved kids. I have 3 nephews that are the literal light of my life. I'm obsessed with them. Like any amount of spare time that Sean and I have are like, let's go get the boys. So I love kids and I've always wanted to give that love. But of course, when you meet your partner at 31, you get married at 34, you want to have some time together. You're starting to get to a point where it's a little harder as you get older, for sure. Right. I would say we started trying maybe like a year after we got married. And Sean was actually like on the fence. He has never been around children. He didn't have any kids in his family. And none of our friends have really had kids that we were around at the time. And so he wasn't as like, I guess, worried about it. And he's like, yeah, I mean, if we have kids, great. If we don't, that's okay. You know, I'm just happy. I love you. And I'm like, no.
You're like, so, no, it's happening.
Yeah. I mean, we started trying, and as a lot of people, a few months go by and you're having a great time. It's fun. You're like, okay, we're making a baby. Like, let's do this. And then you're like, okay, nothing's happening. And all of your friends are getting pregnant like this. And you're like, okay, is there something wrong with me?
Yeah.
I will say, in the back of my mind, I knew I had PCOS.
Okay. When did you realize that?
Yeah, I had been diagnosed with that maybe 10 years prior. And it was one of those things where you go to the gyno, you say, my hair is falling out. I have a beard. I have cystic acne that is covering every pore in my face. It won't go away. I'm tired. What is wrong with me? And they tested me for PCOS. And I am not a doctor. And honestly, it's been so long, I don't remember the numbers. But for the sake of this conversation, I just remember her saying, your testosterone is through the roof. Like, if it's supposed to be 4, it's 40. Like, it was something that was so off the charts. And I was like, oh my gosh, I had no idea. So
did they do anything to treat that? Or like, what was the next step?
Of course, they just threw me on a birth control pill.
Yeah.
And for me at that time, I was like, this is the holy grail. Like, thank God. I mean, I went on this birth control pill and my hair grew back in, my skin cleared up. I felt amazing. My periods were so regular and light. And I'm like, this is a miracle drug. Mm-hmm. However, again, I'm not a doctor. I don't know, you know, 10, 12 years of that.
Right.
I don't know. I was so thankful for it at the time. I mean, I don't know what I would have done differently. I know there's so many people that combat PCOS with diet and with exercise and those things. And I feel like are you kidding me? I ate so healthy. I worked out.
Oh my God.
And I, yes.
For people who can't see, Lauren is the cutest pregnant woman I've ever seen.
You're so sweet. I do not.
No, you are the cutest little bump. We'll get to that part.
Yes. So we're trying. And, you know, we buy the ovulation strips. And I had seen that if you have PCOS, apparently those ovulation strips are not very accurate. I mean, I would surge and then 3 days later I would surge again. And then 3 days later I would surge again. And I'm thinking, what the heck? Like,
what's going on?
Then my cycle would be like 48 days long. And I'm like, well, when the heck did I ovulate? Now I'm confused. Apparently your LH is all over the place when you have PCOS. So that didn't work.
How is this affecting you mentally? Because you mentioned, you know, kind of jokingly, like everyone's getting pregnant so easily. But did you have like dark moments or like sad moments? Because I'll say for me, you know, for if anyone doesn't know my story, you know, I went through secondary infertility for 3 something years, recurrent pregnancy loss, 4 miscarriages. And I was depressed and it was so sad. And I just felt so alone. So how was it for you?
You know, in the beginning, I was optimistic because your doctor tells you that unless you've been trying for a year, not to worry. So yes, the heartbreak of seeing blood when you wipe every month sucks. It sucks so bad, especially when your friends are having kids and there's all these little jokes around, oh, if we get pregnant at the same time, or like, we're going to have, our kids are going to be in the same class. And then that did happen for all of our friends. Like they did get pregnant at the same time, a lot of them. And they are able to play together now, you know, they're 2, 3 years old and here we are like, what the heck? But again, your doctor's like, don't worry. Like if it hasn't been a year, whatever. Well, my girlfriend, Kristen, eventually said to me, you know what? That's kind of bullshit. Honestly, you know, you're 36 or however old I was. Why don't you just go get checked out? You know, like there's no harm in that.
I agree with you.
And the doctor, it's so hard because like sometimes there's a mixture of PCOS, unexplained fertility, age. Sean's sperm was decent. It wasn't like amazing, but it wasn't great. I mean, it was just kind of like, to be honest, I think you need to do IVF.
Yeah. And, so all those factors combined and you don't really know what the determining factor is, but you know, it's all affecting everything else, right?
Yeah. And I think with your age, when you're approaching 40 and they, you know, they give you this whole chart with percentages, like this is your percentage of getting pregnant at this age, then you add in the PCOS, here's the percentage, then you add in this, then you add in this, and you're like, ah, and then a lot of people don't talk about this, but the BRCA gene runs rampant in both of our families.
Okay.
And my mom had breast cancer. My sister, who was diagnosed at 29, had stage 4 breast cancer. My grandma had breast cancer. My aunt had breast cancer. My older sister, she went ahead and got a prophylactic double mastectomy because she's like, I've already got 3 kids. Like, let's just do it. Mm-hmm. They did a biopsy, found precancerous cells. So it was like, oh my gosh. Then I find out Sean has the BRCA gene.
Wow.
So it was like, okay, so our doctor said, look, the other advantage of doing IVF too is like, if you get a good amount of embryos, you can also test them for the BRCA gene. And I'm not saying that like you wouldn't transfer your precious embryo, but like if you have the opportunity to pick the highest quality one, I will say before we ever did IVF, we did have 1 miscarriage. And
I'm so sorry.
Honestly, that one might have been the most devastating. Because yes, the IVF ones were horrible, but the first time you get pregnant and you see those 2 lines and you see the word pregnant and you're jumping up and down, you get this insane amount of relief, like, okay, we can do this. And for me, it was early, but we did like drive over to our family's house and immediately told them. And we were just naive in the whole thing, honestly. And I had surprised Sean by telling him in a really sweet way. And oh my God, it was anyway.
Oh so then, man. Like,
yes. So then like a week later, I was driving to a rehearsal and I felt this sick feeling of like something bad is going to happen to me.
Oh, yes. Yes.
It was horrible. And I started cramping the whole rehearsal. I was cramping so terribly. And then I eventually lost the baby. So it was early, but I mean, just realizing, okay, I guess people think that's never going to happen to me, right? Like, oh yeah, that happens to 1 in 4, but like, I'm not going to be one of those people. Like that's totally not gonna happen.
Absolutely. So
that was devastating.
I will add to, just in case anyone's listening that hasn't heard this show before, you know, I always say like a loss is a loss, and early, later, like it doesn't matter. It's painful no matter what, you know, because I feel like some people will be like, well, at least you weren't so far along, or at least this, or at least that. And I think that's kind of bullshit too. It's like, it doesn't matter. The loss of an embryo, the loss of an IVF cycle that got canceled, you know, all of these losses are hard. So I just want to validate that and say, you know, whatever anybody's going through, like it's not the pain Olympics is what we always say. It's like, yeah, everybody, no, you know? Yeah. So yeah. Yeah. Okay. So what happened next?
So we start our, gosh, IVF is such a brain. I mean,
yeah,
all of it, from reading the paperwork to ordering the prescriptions to reading the directions on the prescription.
Oh my God. 100%.
Mixing the,
you're like, I have to do what? Yeah.
We were like, and it's funny because when we started our stimulations, we were actually in New York City on a trip, but that's just like where my cycle fell. And so we're in New York and I had to get these injections through TSA on ice packs, yeah, and check into the hotel. It was such a mess. And I mean, I started these stimulations and I looked 6 months pregnant and I'm like, what is going on? And they did tell me, look, when you have PCOS, you might produce a lot of eggs. That's like a thing. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right. And you know how they don't talk to you? So like we go in and they would do the little ultrasound to see where I was, and they were definitely counting them on the screen, but I still didn't know what that meant. They'd be like, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Mm-hmm. And I remember them counting like crazy numbers and thinking, yeah, is that normal? I'm like looking it up when I get home. I'm like, I'm not even going to ask questions. Mm-hmm. Long story short, they retrieved 65 eggs from me in one go.
That's wild. Were you in 65. Pain?
Oh my God. Yeah. I was okay. Huge. Like, yeah, it was like, I don't even know. Like, it reminds me of like a fish or something, like with their fish eggs. Like, it was crazy.
Right. Right.
But, of course, quality is not quantity.
Exactly.
Quantity is not quality. I mean,
right. Right.
So, you know, they retrieved 65 that ultimately resulted in 10 viable embryos, which is still a lot. Mm-hmm. That's a great amount to get. And of course they do all the testing, or at least we decided to do it. And we did do the BRCA testing.
Okay.
And it's kind of crazy. We ended up with only one embryo without the BRCA gene. And it is the little girl that I'm carrying right now.
Oh my God.
Yes. Which is kind of crazy. So
feeling sluggish from all the extra food, drinks, and celebrations? Kick off the new year with a science-backed reset. Quiksilver Scientific's PushCatch Liver Detox is a patented, simple two-step system that supports your liver, gut, and whole body detoxification, helping clear out what's slowing you down so you feel energized for the year ahead. It's more than a cleanse. Quiksilver Scientific's PushCatch Liver Detox helps reset your system. Get 10% off and free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. Again, that's tryqs.com/podcast for 10% off and free shipping. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible.
You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
At Great Wolf Lodge, there's adventure for the whole family. You and your pack can splash away in the indoor water park where it's always 84 degrees. There's a massive wave pool, a lazy river, and tons of water slides for your pack to enjoy together. And the fun doesn't stop there. Get ready to explore and play at adventure-packed attractions from Magi Quest, a live-action game that takes place throughout the lodge to the Northern Lights Arcade. There's also a bunch of great dining options and complimentary daily events like nightly dance parties, all under one roof. And the best part? With 22 lodges across the country, you're always only a short drive away from adventure. So bring your pack together at a lodge near you. Book your stay today at greatwolf.com and strengthen the pack.
I don't know how much time we have, but this story is wild.
Yeah, tell it. We've got time.
So I wanted to transfer her first. Our doctor recommended we transfer her first. They basically just say, you should transfer your highest quality embryo. They send you a little sheet with all the grading and everything. And so we said, sure, let's transfer her. As soon as I filled out that paperwork, I had this visceral reaction in my body. I mean, I felt ill about the decision. And I don't know if it was God or the universe or the baby. I don't know what someone was telling me. Do not transfer this embryo yet. It was the weirdest thing. So I went to bed that night, couldn't even sleep. I wasn't even excited about the transfer. I was like, something is off. And so 3 days later, I told Sean, I can't shake this feeling. We need to transfer a different embryo. So the next quality one was a boy. And the thing about the BRCA gene in a boy is it's not that big of a deal because it's not
okay.
Breast cancer. The percentage that it goes up is not a big deal. Mm-hmm. So we transfer this boy.
Mm-hmm.
We get to 11 weeks pregnant. We go through the whole process. We're ecstatic. We've already told our friends and family. We're like, it's genetically tested. We're good. Like nothing's going to happen. And it turns out I had a septum in my uterus, like a piece of flesh dividing my uterus in half that they couldn't see on the ultrasound. And they couldn't see in my HSG test.
Mm-hmm.
So I lose that embryo at 11 weeks. And oh my God. Oh my God. I mean, we were in shock. Like, holy, what? No. This is like supposed to be foolproof. We just went through all this shit. We just spent like 50 grand. What is happening right now?
Right. But absolutely.
We were so emotionally connected to this baby already. I mean, 11 weeks of celebrating and Christmas, you know, we surprised my family. They lost their minds. They were like, because they didn't even know we did IVF. They were like, oh my, it was awful.
I'm so sorry. So how did you and Sean, like, did you guys grieve differently? How did you get through that specific time?
God, Sean is so strong. I am a crier. I am like a breakdown. I am like a worst case scenario. Maybe I just can't carry a baby. Maybe I'm not. And he's like, whoa, you need to calm down. I'm like, maybe I'm not meant to be a mom. Maybe we're supposed to adopt. Maybe we're supposed to. And he's like, you are fast forwarding way too far. Like, we know what caused it. You had this septum. Let's get you a surgery. Like, let's stay calm. And for most of the time, that's like really sweet. And I need that grounding. But there's also a piece of you that's like, yeah, easy for you to say, mother. You're not the one who's carrying all this, you know, taking all these meds and carrying this baby.
100%.
Yeah. But no, he like waits on me hand and foot and takes care of me and rubs my feet and cooks for me. And he's
to that.
But yeah, it was really hard. And that is when I made the decision to share it with the world, because I had been hiding it up until that point. And I'm posting all these other videos. I'm going viral. People are so in my life. it felt weird to keep that from everyone. And it also felt just really sad. Like, everyone is like, oh, your life is so fun and you're so cute and bubbly. And I'm thinking, I'm like going through the hardest thing of my entire life and it's a secret and it feels weird.
So did you feel like you were seeking connection and community by posting it, or you wanted to both?
Yeah. It was a mixture of, I need to share this, and a mixture of, there's someone out there that needs to hear this, that this is common, that this is normal. So I did. And I was in shock at the response. I mean, I guess to me, it was like, oh, the people that love me will see this and be like, oh, I didn't expect it to go like viral. Like, I didn't expect millions of people to see it. I didn't expect to log into my DMs and have thousands and thousands of messages, paragraphs long, stories about their journeys and what happened to them, good and bad. And the good ones gave me so much hope. It was like, oh my gosh, I did this. And I, now I have three beautiful babies and da 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 da. It kept me going. I got like fan mail sent to my PO box. My friends and family were stopping by with flowers. And it was like, what is happening? I've never felt more loved and seen and understood in my life, but I also never felt so connected, because so many people are like, thank you for saying this. Like, I'm alone right now. My, no one knows. My in-law doesn't know. My own parents don't know. Like, my siblings don't know. And because I'm scared to bring it up, and I don't know, it's such a taboo topic. So you to share this with all of us is like so crazy. And it was, it was amazing, honestly. And I'm so glad I shared. It was like a weight lifted.
Right. Well, probably because you're so authentic and honest in your other content that it was like you were hiding this piece, right? So once that was finally revealed and shared, it was probably like, okay, now I can like 110% like say everything, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it kind of becomes like more fun. Like, okay, guys, we're starting another cycle, and people asking questions, and also the prayers. I mean, I am a huge believer in like energy and prayer. And if I have millions of people that are wishing me well and praying for me and thinking about me and hoping for me, I don't know why, but I just like believe that that is.
I fully believe. When you said the universe earlier, I was like, in my children's board book, which I will send to you for the baby, I talk about like the universe and how like that comes into play too when you go through IVF. Like, I think it's all, it's the science, it's the love, it's the magic, you know, like all these things have to come together.
It's all connected, and it really is so beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then I got back on the horse, which is really difficult.
Yeah.
Pretty much right away. People were like, are you sure you don't need more time? And I'm like, no, put another one in. I don't care. Yeah. Like, I'm ready. I'm getting old, baby. Let's go.
And, how old were you at this point?
This was all in the last year and a half. So 37, 36, 37. I'll be 38 in July. So
Yeah.
And I'll give my due date is June 19th. So
yes,
I'll be basically 38 when I have her.
Yeah.
But we transfer another one. We get pregnant. This time, my anxiety was at an all-time high. And there's a piece of me that wonders if the internet awaiting the results added to that. But as positive as the experience was, it's like, people are like literally waiting for me to tell them if the transfer worked or not.
100%.
Like, I was, and if anyone is listening that is going through this process right now, I was testing early, like day five, day six. And if I didn't see a line, I was on my hands and knees sobbing. I was so inconsolable. Sean was like, are you going to be okay? Looking back, I wish I didn't do that. I wish I would have just waited to like day nine or day 10, or even just waited for the blood test, because the lines, people tell you they should get darker every day. Well, sometimes they don't, or they should, you should definitely see something by day five. And it's like, that messed with me so much. And ultimately we were pregnant. So what was the point of the hysterics? Like, what a waste of time.
Such good advice. Yeah. I was terrified to early test because I didn't want a false positive or a false negative, you know? So I did wait, but it was so hard. It's so hard.
Good
that
for
like
you.
Being in limbo is just like, it's so hard.
It takes so much self-control. I mean, I would wake up in the morning around like 6 or 7 and my heart would start pounding because I knew I had tests under the sink and I knew I could, if I wanted to, I could just grab one right then.
It's like being an addict. Like you're like, don't do it. And then you're like,
and then it's like, okay, well, I tested at 6 a.m. Now I'm going to test again at 2 p.m. and see if it's, that's not even how it works. So
I know, but it's so normal. I'm so glad you're sharing this because I know there's people out there doing the same exact thing. And, you know, again, just it's not, you know, quote unquote abnormal to do that. This is all human. It's all part of this experience. It's such a mind fuck. And, you know, sometimes you do things that you wouldn't have normally done or, you know, like in retrospect, it's like, wow, that was a little, you know, wild, but I get it.
Can't change the end result. So like the craziest thing about it is we did end up getting pregnant. Okay. But then at 8.5, 9 weeks, we found out that they were mono twins. The boy embryo split into two, but it split too late. And when that happens, and they're not conjoined twins, but damn near, they're sharing a fetal pole, like a nutrient source. They're sharing a sac. And most of the time they don't make it. And if they do make it, you're on high alert and you're being monitored constantly because they can get tangled within each other's umbilical cords and things. It's really dangerous. So
high risk. Yeah.
Very high risk. And so we find that out. We end up losing both twins. Sometimes you only lose one, whatever. We end up losing both twins. And so I'm like, because I would have loved twins, but I'm like, okay. But now we're sitting here going, are you okay? You're joking now. Like now you're joking because the things that have happened don't even feel fertility related anymore. Like the septum thing. Okay. The twin thing could have literally happened to anyone. And we've done a whole nother IVF cycle at this point. I've like gained 30 pounds. I'm so tired. I'm like, the thought of doing this again is driving me mad. Like you're kidding. So many people were like, are you sure you even want to do this again?
Right.
I'm like, yeah. But here was the crazy thing. This time around, our third transfer, I felt that pull from the universe, from God, whatever, that it was time to transfer our girl, our high quality girl. So
I love that. I love that. I get it. I believe.
It's so weird. So we filled out the paperwork for girl, started over again. And this whole time I'm sharing all of this on social media. And at this point I have made silly songs about it. I have done performances live about it.
Oh my God, girl, you've created some IVF anthems and some like TTC community anthems for real.
People were using them for their videos.
Yep.
I still get tagged. Like people use the parodies that I wrote in the background of their IVF story videos.
Of course.
It's just really super cute. Yeah. So this time we did not tell the internet anything until 10 weeks. I couldn't.
That's valid. That makes sense.
Yeah. So I'm like, Let's just get there. But yeah, she took and everything went perfectly. And I was still anxious. Even now I'm 26 weeks and I'm still looking at the toilet paper for blood every time I wipe. Like, okay.
Oh my God. I would do that too. Once I became pregnant with my son through IVF and I would be like, please no blood, please no blood, please no blood. And even for like a year afterwards, probably I would still get, then, you know, I'd started getting my period again. I would still get triggered when I'd see blood, even though I knew it was my period. Like I'd be like, like, it's just the trauma, like the body holds the score, right? Yeah.
Yes. I do believe we have PTSD from this shit. Like
100%.
It's horrible. But yeah. And, this pregnancy, I mean, I think after everything I've been through, I'm just so ready for her to be here.
Yeah, totally.
It's like, I really envisioned myself having this goddess-like pregnancy where I'm just like finding cute outfits and working out and eating healthy and feeling like I have life in me. I just always envisioned myself being this. And it didn't know. Right. No. Pregnancy is for the birds.
Totally.
It sucks.
Right.
You're tired. You're nauseous. Nothing fits. I gained weight in my face and arms and ankles like immediately. It was like, okay, I'm okay. I'm just ready for her to be here.
Totally. I mean, after everything you have been through, are there any other like surprises or anything about the pregnancy after loss piece of it? Like, I feel like anxiety is always kind of there. It's not like you have the luxury of like never having experienced loss and you're like, I'm pregnant. It's going to go great. Like you're always kind of on edge or guarding your heart. Do you feel that way too?
Yeah, the contrast between seeing some of my friends that get pregnant first try, and I have friends truly with three children who like tried and got pregnant immediately with all of their children. And so for them, it's like, I'm pregnant. And when they go to their appointments, it's like a happy thing. Like,
right.
Okay. Like we're going to go see. Anytime I have an ultrasound, my heart is racing the entire drive there. And I am on the verge of throwing up in that room and literally gripping the table, like panicking. While, I mean, you know, when you do IVF, the first few ultrasounds are the vaginal ultrasounds. They're like, jam that wand in there. And I am like on the verge of seriously vomiting of fear. And I would say, just tell me you see a heartbeat. Just tell me you see something. Like they needed to say something right away or I was going to lose my mind. And I picture people that are like, oh, like they go to we're going to an ultrasound today and they have no fear. That's crazy.
It's crazy.
You know, as far as like enjoying pregnancy and enjoying the whole planning process of it too, there's these fears like, well, if I buy clothes for her or if I start on the nursery, it's going to hurt even more if I lose her. Mm-hmm. If I name her, I don't want to lose another name. That was another thing that was really hard for us was like, you only have so many dream names and I would like name my babies right away. And then when you lose the baby, you feel weird about using that name again. Like, well, wait, can I still use it?
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm like, you know what I mean? And so now people are like, what's her name? And I'm like, I don't think I want to tell you. Cause like, I don't want to say jinx it, but I don't want to like jinx it. Like, no. I don't want to like,
yeah, that makes so much sense. What about a baby shower?
Okay. So we are planned now after, I think it was like 22 weeks. We saw her. She was measuring perfectly. Everything looks good. I was kind of like, all right, well, I have to plan some stuff. Like I have to start thinking like
you need things. Yeah. Right.
And I know my friends and family are going to want to celebrate this huge, like this is a huge deal, you know? And so I did go ahead and commit and I am here to tell you my shower is going to be so over the top.
Oh my God. Tell me a little sneak peek. Okay, if you can.
So, I don't even know if I want to give it away.
Okay. You don't have to. We'll wait and watch. We'll watch it online. We'll follow your accounts and we'll see it.
It's so me. It's like, okay, you're kidding me. That's so Lauren. And I actually have one of the brands that I work with is sponsoring it. Ooh. So that's really sweet. So it's going to kind of almost be like a branded event. And yeah, it's going to be so fun, but yeah, I can't wait. I'm finally in a place where I feel like I can celebrate and get excited.
Yeah. I think that's totally understandable. You know, I've talked to people that didn't want to have a baby shower at all, you know, cause they're just, you're nervous. Like you said, don't want to jinx it. Don't want to get your hopes up again, just kind of guarding your heart. And that is one of the things that I think people don't talk about enough that sucks about infertility is you get robbed of these moments of joy that come so easily seemingly to other people. And it's not fair, but I'm so glad you're embracing it. And I'm glad that you're able to exhale a little bit. I would love to wrap by asking you, what do you know now that you didn't know then that you'd like to share with listeners just about this whole experience and going through IVF and infertility and loss? Anything you wish you knew like at the start?
Gosh, there's so many things, but I will say one thing that I learned is that you, for one, never know what someone is going through, especially behind closed doors. And pregnancy and motherhood is talked about in such a flippant way, in the way that people ask you questions like, oh, you know, are you guys, do you guys want kids one day? And it's like, you have no idea how loaded a question is, like when you ask someone that, and you just never know what someone's going through. I will say, like, for me, I had a very emotional, anxious 2 years, and I'm the type of person that like puts on a bubbly face and I am there for my friends. I was probably invited for to dozens of baby showers and I went to them all. I went, I brought a gift, I smiled, I jumped up and down. I was genuinely happy for them. Like, it's not fake at all. But they had no idea like what was going on with me, you know, when I would go home and cry and, yeah, you know, I'd bury my head in Sean's shoulders. Like, when is this going to happen for us? You know? And, unfortunately, I mean, I lost friends in this journey because I'll never forget the way I was treated. I'll say that. And for the most part, it was good. I like from friends, from family, from my online community, I will never, ever forget the way I was treated the last 2 years, both good and bad. And it just makes you want to have more compassion and more empathy for people because you just never know what they're going through, especially women, especially moms. And I know too, like even postpartum, I'm talking to a lot of my friends that are experiencing a whole different level of depression and anxiety in that phase of life. And I feel like I've been able to learn so much there too and realize that like, as women, we just need grace, especially in this season.
Do you mind talking a little bit about the being treated badly? Like, was it like people were not approving that you were doing IVF, or like, if you don't want to get any of it, that's fine. But I'm just curious.
Yeah, there are so many like little examples. And the sad part about it is I actually don't know that people mean to be negative, or that I think a lot of people have good intentions, or that they're just ignorant to it all, so they don't even realize what they're saying. But yeah, there were several people that had made comments about not believing in IVF and, you know, the moral side of it. And also people just saying things that are insensitive in my presence. And I mean, I could go into a million details, but it's like, it's not even really worth it. But, mm-hmm, you know, I've made a few like videos jokingly about like the crazy things people say to you, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, when you're trying to have a baby. And, mm-hmm, yeah, I mean,
yeah,
it's hard.
I think you said exactly right. And like, as women in particular, instead of being so judgy and being so, you know, vocal and insensitive sometimes, I think we all need, and obviously you do this on a daily basis, you're putting out this beautiful content and this piece of joy in your corner of the internet and, you know, lifting other people up. But I think that, you know, we all need to just support each other, and like, you know, women need to band together more than ever. And, you know, I think that, like you said, going through a fertility journey and loss and all that, it definitely made me a more empathetic person too. And I think you said it perfectly when you're like, you never know what someone's going through, so you got to give them grace. Like, you're exactly right.
Yeah. And I'm thankful for the community of women that I have. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I can go in and see like my analytics or whatever on my pages, and it's like 90 something percent women, which makes me so happy. Mm-hmm. And everyone really, for the most part, is so positive. And obviously, like, you get the crazy messages. I sometimes even post like hateful things people say, like, are you kidding me? But the other hard part too is, and I love it when people tell me their stories, but like when they tell me their really, really bad stories, like, oh yeah, I did like IVF 8 times and like still don't have a baby, and like, best of luck. And I'm like, that's like scary too, you know, like, mm-hmm, thank you for sharing, but also now I'm like even more anxious. Like, I don't want that to be me. Or like, people also tried to tell me why they thought I had a miscarriage. And it would be like, well,
right, because they know.
Yeah, like they know. They'll be like, I noticed that you wore leggings and polyester causes a miscarriage because the fabric. And I'm like, leggings? Like I thought we all wore polyester. Like that's all we can, like what? Okay. Like I guess I can try to wear only organic cotton for the rest of my life. Like, or somebody said it was because I ate fast food. Like, oh, I saw you ate McDonald's fries and that can cause. People said crazy things to me and I'm like, oh boy. Okay. All right.
Oh my God. It gets wild. But again, Lauren, I love what you're doing and I love how authentic you are. And you are helping so many people feel seen and have something to relate to. And I'm just, you already are the best mom. I can't wait to see you with this little baby. And I can't wait to hear the music that comes out. This girl's going to get the best lullabies. Come on. Are you kidding me?
Oh my gosh. I can't wait.
It's I can't wait either.
I think I may actually do a lullaby album for her.
100%. I will invest in it and I will be your first customer and I'll buy a million copies. Like, yeah, you must. You must.
Thank you.
All right, friends, thank you so much for listening. And thank you so much to Lauren Roscoe for sharing her amazing story. I am obsessed with all of her music. Go check it out if you haven't already. And don't forget, this is the moment. If you want to be a part of Petri Dish Princess, the next book in the Work of Art series, you can literally be illustrated inside of it. But the window is closing fast. So go check out the details at Inferlife Stories on Instagram or head to inferlifegroup.com to lock in your spot. And a portion of the proceeds goes to Families Out Loud. So check it out. It's for a good cause, and you can have a keepsake to hold on to forever. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you guys soon.